Hi, I'm Steve Garrett, and this is Within the Realm. I'm here with another story I hope you find interesting. Back in the 90s, when I was a much younger fellow, the planning for a long-discussed highway bypass in my small Oklahoma hometown began. A public meeting was held, with the proposed route displayed on large poster boards in the local community center, with several dozen concerned residents in attendance. Structures with a potentially significant historical value were marked on that map. These included the older brick buildings near the railroad depot and the Masonic Lodge, but also included were modest little houses noted for their unique look. We called them giraffe houses due to their brownish-orange stone and wide white mortar, which looked like the markings of, well, a giraffe. We called them giraffe houses, but those learned scholars from the State Historic Preservation Office referred to them as Ozark Giraffe. We had grown up with the giraffe houses, spotting neighborhoods and surrounding towns and along country roads throughout the Ozark foothills. And they weren't only houses. There were some churches, public buildings, and businesses also had this unique look. Even when I was growing up, we knew there was something old and dated about the giraffe houses. They were old, especially to the 10-year-old mind. They certainly weren't continuing to be built, and none had been built for some time. Despite that fact, they were everywhere and plentiful. What we didn't know is they were a statement about the ingenuity and the resourcefulness of the generation or two that had preceded us. As a young lover of things historic, I made note that these houses and churches and other buildings were indeed getting older and starting to disappear. This was an architecture that was very much part of the landscape of my growing up. The story of the giraffe houses goes hand in hand with the hardscrabble life experienced in the Ozarks through the 1920s and the Depression era. And its fall from its use speaks to the great changes in the American lifestyle following World War II. The Ozark Giraffe Style House is an outgrowth of the Ozark rock construction, which also includes the use of cobblestone and flagstones. It has been described as an extension of the arts and crafts movement of the early 20th century and owes a lot to the cement and gravel wall construction method promulgated in the last half of the 19th century. It certainly was a pragmatic approach to construction using readily available materials. It's reported that the earliest giraffe houses appeared in the first or second decade of the 20th century, but became a popular building style in the late 1920s and the 30s, thanks to county extension circulars and other publications that promoted the construction method. Many of the building projects had a do-it-yourself quality to them, with homeowners and family members doing much of the work based on the information found in the pamphlets and the workshops provided by the county agricultural extension agents throughout the Ozarks. Due to its DIY nature, Ozark rock construction has been described as a folk craft, with many variations from region to region and even builder to builder. An article in the 1934 edition of Missouri Magazine laid out detailed instructions on how to create a rock building, including everything from the size of the footings to the proportions of sand and cement that should go into the mortar mix. The same article noted that the magazine would supply an illustrated booklet on the construction process to interested folks upon request. A book was published in 1936, which included similar instructions, including drawings of wall construction and formulas for estimating the needed materials for a rock house. In some rock-faced houses, the walls were formed of a pasty cement mixture combined with pebbles and then poured into wooden forms with flat, smooth slices of rock, not more than 4 inches thick, embedded in the cement on the exterior. In other examples, standard frame construction was covered with rock slabs as a surface treatment. Examples of this building style, a web wall design, include the Wagon Wheel Motel in Missouri and a substantial number of structures in Arkansas and Oklahoma. This type of construction, using the cut sandstone with its unusual shapes, was a late phase in the Ozark rock construction. By the late 1930s, these larger slabs of cut stone were replacing the thicker fieldstone construction that had been popular previously. The slabs, which were formed by splitting large pieces of natural sandstone to form thin plates of rock, were much lighter and thinner than the rough fieldstone that had been in use. That change made it possible to use a lighter structural system for completing a building. The slabs had much larger surfaces than fieldstone, often measuring more than 18 inches across. Slab construction often featured mortar joints that were accented with beaded profiles or painted to provide a stronger contrast to the tannish brown surfaces of the newly split sandstone slabs. The irregular placement of each unique stone assured that no two houses looked the same. A review of Sanborn Fire Insurance Company maps of Springfield show that many of the rock buildings in Springfield that were built after the mid-1930s have rock veneer over frame structural systems. Partial giraffe houses were much less common. With these houses, the stone slabs only go partway up the sides of the house. Placing the stone only partway up requires less stone and less labor than covering the entire wall surface. The stone veneer on the lower part of the house gives protection against moisture where it is needed the most. Some of the broad mortar joints are smooth and some are convex, depending on the builder, drawing even more attention to the random placement of the slab stones. Some houses sport unique circular or floral designs of stones, or stones with an interesting shape placed prominently on the exterior wall. The ease with which slab rock could be added to a frame structure also made it popular for remodeling projects. In Missouri, this was sometimes used as a way of stabilizing or rebuilding existing frame houses that were deteriorating. Again, Sanborn maps from the 1950s for some of the cities in Missouri show a rock sheathing added to frame buildings since the release of the previous maps in the 1930s. During the Great Depression, the Workers' Progress Administration, the WPA, and the Civilian Conservation Corps, the CCC, sponsored the construction of many public buildings throughout the Ozarks, and many of these included rock masonry. Local craftsmen already familiar with the techniques of building with fieldstone were employed in these federally funded projects. These relief programs had a great impact on the cultural landscape of the Ozarks. The CCC built many of the administrative buildings in the Mark Twain National Forest, and the WPA built numerous public buildings throughout the area, employing the local technique incorporating indigenous stone. Could it be that WPA workers learned this technique on their public buildings and then used this newfound skill on their own homes? By the mid-20th century, giraffe house building was a thing of the past. An urgent demand for new housing after World War II and the rise of more instant frame and modular housing brought an end to the era in which the Ozark giraffe building method flourished. Thankfully, many of the homes and the buildings still stand today, a testament to creativity, hard work, and a little ingenuity. Several are listed on the National Register of Historic Places, like a collection of 7 giraffe stone tourist cabins at Piney Beach in Pulaski County, Missouri. Born of a folk tradition and necessity, these houses represent just a slice of the rich, indigenous American building tradition deserving of remembrance today. Today's episode was written and researched by your host, Steve Garrett, and produced with the help of Cash Ramsey. If you want to see some pictures of an Ozark giraffe house, be sure to check out our Facebook page, Within the Realm. If you like, feel free to leave a message of encouragement. And as always, thanks for listening.